Beverly Lutz, and I'm a licensed therapist.
What inspired you to get into the mental health field?
I'm going to say it was my own childhood, just some experiences during my childhood that I didn't realize that it wasn't unique to me. I went to college intending to be a journalist. And one of the courses we had to take an elective course. And so I chose abnormal psychology because it sounded interesting. And then as I started in that class, I was like, oh, they wrote a book about my family. So I was like, okay, this is not just me. So my background is I grew up in a family where there were substance abuse issues, there was domestic violence, there was mental health issues, there was abandonment, there was poverty, there was all the things. And so there was a lot of shame and embarrassment attached to that as a child growing up. And school was my refuge. It was like, I never missed school. I had perfect attendance because that was my safe place at school. And so then when I went away to college, that was even better. I'm getting out of my house, right? And then taking that class, I was like, oh, so there's other people out there like me. That together with early experiences of having a counselor as a child because of the stuff that was going on in my home, like my parents were made to go to counseling. Me and my siblings were put into counseling. And I remember having an experience with, and I still remember her name. Her name was Dr. Bernstein. And I think I was 9 years old. And I just remember my sessions with her just being so impactful. You know, I just really felt seen, heard, and like she got it. And that just stuck with me like my whole life. And so, like I said, having that experience in college with that course, I kind of thought, oh, like, you know, maybe I can help other children and teenagers out there like that. Maybe I can be, I didn't know what therapist, you know, all that stuff was, but I was like, oh, let me look into this. So I just looked into it more and I decided I don't want to be a journalist anymore. I want to be a therapist, you know? And so I changed my major to psychology and that's what happened.
How was it when you first started out in the field?
Well, when I first started in the field, I'm going to say I didn't start as a therapist. You know, obviously we don't start as therapists. I started as a social worker. So my degree is a master's degree in social work. And so my first few jobs were, you know, like community field work. You know, my first job out of undergrad was with Child Protective Services. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So my first job was with Child Protective Services. And of course, I don't know if you have any experience with that, but you get thrown into everything. I mean, you literally always tell people if you can survive working there for 2 years, you can do anything. There's nothing you can't do. So that had me, you know, really exposed a lot to children and teenagers and families that were just like my own, right? So I was seeing it from a different side, you know, of the lens. And then I decided I want to go back to school and get a graduate degree. I didn't know even what an MSW was. I thought, oh, let me go and get a master's degree in psychology. And then as I was exploring graduate programs, someone talked to me about, oh, you need to be a try MSW, you know, program. So I did that. And again, when I got out of graduate school, my first jobs were like a school social worker, working for the health department, those types of things. And then at some point I gained the confidence. I had to grow the confidence to think that I could be in private practice. So after all those years of experiences, I decided, you know, I want to be in private practice. You know, by that time I was married and I had children and I wanted more ownership over myself, you know, and my life and my income. So I became a therapist in private practice probably about 14 years ago was the first time I went into private practice. And it was amazing. But some other things happened in my life and I had to give that up and go back to a regular 9-to-5 job. So I've just gotten back into private practice maybe 3 years ago during the pandemic. So, and it's been amazing this time around again.
What is it like just talking to people?
Woo. So in the moment, it is amazing. Some days, to be real, some days I look at my calendar and I'm like, oh God, like I got six sessions today, or oh, I got that person on my calendar today, because some clients just have different energy levels, and so, some clients are going to pull more energy from you than others. But when I'm in the moment with my clients, it's very gratifying. It's very gratifying to see people make connections. I had a new client today, and that experience was as she was kind of telling me her story, and I was kind of reflecting back to her and then offering some new insight. It was just so gratifying to see her go, "That's it. Yes, that's it." Like, nobody's ever told me that before. Nobody has understood that before, and I was like, oh, it's just like, it's gratifying to help people, first of all, to be seen, heard, and validated, but for them to be able to do that for themselves, right? And to be able to, because some people come to therapy and they kind of minimize some of their stuff, like, oh, my stuff is not as bad as other people's stuff, or and so it's just gratifying to help people be able to just validate their own experiences. So that's really that's one of the most fulfilling parts of my role as a therapist.
Yeah, do you see your clients' confidence level rise as they go through talking with you?
I like to say I see their first of all, they're very courageous to even start therapy. So I always reflect that back to them. And then I just see them get braver and braver, like as the process goes on, right? And so, normally, naturally, when you're coming to meet a stranger, a therapist, on the one hand, you're supposed to tell your therapist everything. But on the other hand, I'm a stranger, And so I get that and I validate that for them. But as they go along and we develop that relationship, I see people getting the courage to talk about things that they never thought that they would say in the open air. And so that is also fulfilling that they're able to talk about this really bad thing that happened, and they know that they can trust this space, that we're in. So that's a really another gratifying part of my job. And then also to see the relief. When you start with someone and you see all the distress that they're in, and then when you work with them over time and you see that relief and they're telling you, I mean, I come to tears with some of my, especially the clients that are getting ready to phase out of therapy and we're reviewing their progress and we're talking about what's to come for them. I'm a hot mess and I don't mind crying in front of my clients. We will both be crying because they're like, you helped me so much. And I'm like, yes, my little bird, go fly. So that's really gratifying to see, the progress that people make, and to be able to launch off and now they can go live their lives and create the life that they want.
I know for me, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder too when I was 37. So it was a lot of time of not knowing what I had and a lot of stigma. But do you see the stigma of just talking about mental health lessening?
Yep, absolutely. So I've been in this field for it'll be 30 years this May, 30 years. And I've seen I would say the biggest change for two reasons. One, I think the increase of social media, where there's just more conversation out there about it. People are talking about, so you have more opportunities to see the discussion and it's being validated by people. People are sharing their experiences and it's like, oh yeah, I feel that way too. But the pandemic really, I think the pandemic was bad, but there were some good things that came out of it, right? This whole discussion around mental health and, here's this traumatic experience that was global that impacted all of us, right? At the same time, when does that happen? The whole world, right? And so people were able to say, oh, you feel anxious too? My anxiety is through the roof, during the pandemic. Oh, and you feel that way too? Oh, it's normal. I'm not the only one. Because, a lot of times with people with you know, mental health struggles, they feel like they're the only one struggling. So there could be some shame and stigma attached to it. But I think the pandemic just really kind of leveled us all out. Like, yeah, we're all going through something. So that just increased the conversation. So for sure, absolutely, I think the stigma definitely has decreased a lot.
What do you do to help your own mental health?
I have a therapist, of course. I've had therapists on and off my entire life. I think, like I said, the first time when I was about 8 or 9, that course wasn't of my choice. But fortunately, all of my therapy experiences have been positive ones. I was in therapy when I was in high school. I sought therapy out when I was in college and in graduate school and then after graduate school and a couple of times on and off just through. I have a therapist now, right? And so I look at it like, to me, it's like, and I always tell my clients, it's like, if your tooth is hurting, you're going to go to the dentist, right? And maybe they fix it and you feel better, but then 2 years from now, your tooth might hurt again, or another tooth, you're going to go back. So it's not like, it's not something that's a one and done necessarily, but it's also not something I believe that you're supposed to be in therapy forever, right? Because I feel like we don't want to become dependent upon our therapist. But I cannot be telling clients, you need to be attending therapy if I'm not doing the same thing, right? And it doesn't mean that I have these big issues that I'm seeing a therapist for, but it's just, I think it's helpful for me as a therapist to be on the other side of that, right? Because it helps me to kind of keep in mind with my clients what this experience is like for them being in therapy with a stranger. And it's just helpful to talk to someone. So.
Yeah. For you, how does it feel to help others?
Like I said, amazing. It's amazing. Like I said, some days are a struggle, you know, if I'm dealing with my own mental health needs, or I'm tired, or I've got other distractions in my life. But every single time, even if I'm tired, every single time I end a session, it's just this moment of, like, there's a simultaneous thing. It's like, I hope I helped them. I hope they got what they needed in this session. But at the same time, it's like, oh, that was like, I know why I'm here. Like, my faith is strong. I believe that I'm in this role for a reason. I believe God put me here. So there's those two feelings, like, I hope they got what they needed. But then at the same time, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's like an affirmation every single time.
What would you say to anyone going through a tough time?
First of all, their feelings are valid, what they're dealing with, regardless of what it is, that they're not alone, right? And that they deserve support, no matter what it is, they deserve support for it. There's no need for them to, you know, minimize their experience or their feelings, that they deserve support.
Where do you want to see your mission in the next 3 to 5 years?
Oh boy. So my dream is to buy some property, and I want to have, I want to say it's like an incubator for newer therapists. So my dream is to like buy, you know, like an old house and maybe have 4 to 5 offices that I would rent out to newer therapists, but it wouldn't be like a high rate. It would be something that, you know, they can afford because they're newer, and we assume we know therapists are broke in the beginning. But along with them having space, office space, they would get mentorship, you know, they would get, if they're working on their clinical supervision, they would get that. So like creating this community, not just being a landlord, but creating a community for newer therapists. That's what I would love to do.
How can people reach out to you and learn more?
They can go to my website. It's LutzCounselingAndWellness.com. Lutz Counseling and Wellness. And my last name is spelled LUTZ. And they can also email me at LutzCounseling@proton.me. And I know that's an unusual email address, but it's LutzCounseling at Proton, proton.me.